This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
BT Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. As we've been talking a lot about the Giants so far today, Joe Shane, just a couple hours from now, will be speaking, addressing the media. I'm sure there'll be a lot to take from that. Be curious to see what he has to say. I hope he just talks about getting some support from ownership, because that does set up what the Giants do the rest of the way here in this lost season yet again. But that's been a big theme. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Also, Juan Soto, which will continue, BT, to be a big theme. And I'm surprised that you're not willing to go all in for Juan Soto, even if it means 15 years. Yanks or Mets, they both need Juan Soto. Different reasons, sure, but they need the best player available. And I don't care what it is, whatever the going rate is, the Mets or Yankees need to top that to make sure they bring back Juan, or the Yankees bring back Juan Soto, the Mets bring in Juan Soto.
I promise you one thing. If he goes to the Mets or if he goes to Toronto and it's for 15 years, I honestly won't be mad.
No,
like the reaction that you get, my opinion now is how I'll feel the day if that happens.
In December, let's say.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
In April and May, when you're watching the team play without Soto and that presence in that lineup.
Okay, but I might be watching a better right fielder. I might be watching a better first baseman and third baseman. My only point is, yes, I want Soto. I'm not trying to give him away. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying don't pursue him with incredible vigor, but it's got to be a line, and that's my line. You know, you get 15 years, nope, 14 years, 12, 13, and if the Yankees aren't competitive, I'll lose my mind in 12. And like that'll be a different emotion. If he leaves for 15 years, that's fine.
If the Mets, let's say, hypothetically sign Soto for 15 years, just let me get the calculator out here real quick. 5 championships over that window?
For the Mets?
Yeah. 5 and 15.
I mean, is he going to double down with the Syracuse team for that amount of money?
Maybe win them
a couple championships.
Just the big league Mets.
Wait, the Mets are going to win 5 championships with Soto?
In 15 years, a long time. It's almost 2 decades.
Don't they have one since '86?
Oh, I want 4.
Is he going to? Here's a funny. Well, not even funny. But here's an interesting question. I think the first instinct is no chance. Is there a chance that he's not even better than David Wright's best season when David was a Met and they didn't win a World Series? Yes, and they didn't win a World Series with David Wright.
Come on, dude.
Sleeping on David Wright.
I know, I love David. Love David Wright.
Come on, what?
We're talking about Juan.
And they had Beltran.
Soto.
They didn't win anything.
We're talking about Juan Soto. All right, so maybe 3. Maybe 5 was a bit ambitious.
I'm just thinking, a little presumptuous.
Yeah, 15 years, I mean, it's a long time.
I understand.
And over the next 15.
5 of them, you'll lament.
Put it this way. If the Mets sign Soto and they do not win multiple championships. Matter of fact, if they don't sign Soto, they better win multiple championships over the next 15 years. They're due. They're due for a big run. The magic number to me would be 3. Not 1, not 2. But 3. I'll say 5 was a bit strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 4 probably pushing it. 3's a nice number. I'll go with three. If the Mets, I would be surprised if the Mets do sign Juan Soto that they don't win three championships in the next 15
years. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a long time down the road. Mm. I would put my money on that not happening just because, you know, I wouldn't even say the Yankees would win three or necessarily the Dodgers, the way baseball's changed. Just back to this David Wright thing.
Well, Dodgers
game,
already have won two.
Yeah, but one was the truncated season. Still, I don't really count that 2020. But listen, this one, they beat us. It counts. They're great, and they're better, and they deserve it. And you know, we'll see what they do next year. Do you think... absolutely, that Juan Soto hits over 325 next year for the Mets, batting average.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's what David Wright hit in his best year.
Yeah.
Do you think that it is a guaranteed lock that his OPS is over 960? Like a lock?
Yes.
A lock.
It better be for that
one. Yeah,
yes.
I mean,
yes, I do.
I'd probably say yes, but do you think that his war, all right, we can laugh at war, but it is what it is, that his war is over 8.3,
yes,
which is the highest of David Wright's career.
Yes, what was it this year?
It was actually below what David Wright did back in 2007. Right. It was 7.9.
I'm not sure the point.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So the point is you said they're going to win all, and I know you're having fun with the five championship.
Right,
I
so
hope
three.
You're having
I
fun.
Three,
right, so
yeah.
three. So you think that the Mets with Soto would just rip off all these championships because they now have a great player, but they had a great two-way player who also stole, 35, 40 bases that year?
No, but it's not just
I understand that, but you had Beltran and you didn't win.
They didn't have the pitching then. The game has evolved now. If I were to ask you this question about the Red Sox before 2004, and by the way, you should check out The Comeback on Netflix. It's great. I told you about that. Do you have time for it yet? No? Did you watch the Penguin
very
finale?
Very busy. The what?
Did you see the Penguin finale?
Halfway. It's a long story.
I know. I watched it last night and I had a note of it, so we'll get to that tomorrow. But if I asked you this question about how many championships the Red Sox will win prior to 2004, and I said, well, they win, I don't know what, three over the next 15 years, you'd be like, come on.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah. But they didn't win because they imported one great player. They already had Pedro. They already had Poppy. They already had Manny.
I'm just saying.
They already had Varitek. They already had their core.
Understood. The Mets did get to the NLCS. I mean, unless I'm missing something.
No, they definitely did it. I'm not trying to take away from the accomplishment.
And now you add the greatness of one Juan Soto
to
that.
For sure. Who's playing first base? Play the game fully.
I mean, they'll probably bring back Alonso.
Okay.
I really think
you
that
don't
they will.
I don't think that it's going to be Soto and Alonso. Well, I don't think that you want Soto and Alonso.
No, I want Soto and Adames.
Exactly.
But it's either so then it's not about first base. Vientos in that case would be playing first base.
Okay, so we got Vientos at first. Who's playing second?
Acuna.
Okay.
Whoever. I mean, pick somebody.
But it's not just whoever. No,
but they have a lot of guys there.
All right, I got you. You got your stud over at shortstop, Lindor.
MVP, Lindor.
Who's playing third base? I know you're going to say Adames. What if Adames gets a gazillion dollars from the desperate Giants, which he very well might? Then who's playing third base?
This is the beauty of the Mets. Vientos will play third, and you could have Alonso back at first.
Okay, what if Pete says, screw you? You undervalued me for a couple of years, and I'm leaving.
And then maybe they get Christian Walker.
Okay, maybe the Yankees beat you to Christian Walker. So there's other things. So who's catching? The guy who hit 210 last year who's going backwards? I'm just checking.
Alvarez.
Okay.
Yes.
Who's playing center field?
They have to get a center field.
Okay. Who's playing left field?
Cedric Mullins. I'll go with Joe DiMaggio and say Cedric Mullins. Left field is Nemo.
Nemo.
And right field is Soto.
Okay.
DH, they'll go get another bat. Like, the Mets are going to spend.
I know they are, but you're also giving me four or five.
We've only just begun. baby.
I love it.
Pumped up, BT.
I love it. You should be pumped up, but I'm not trying to deflate your enthusiasm. All I'm saying is, there are four or five things that that you're banking on the Mets doing. The chances of them doing all five, zero.
All right.
The chances that they do all four is inside of 10%. Right. And if you only do three, there's no guarantee that you win.
Now I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, question time.
How many World Series championships?
27.
Do you think the Mets? Yeah. It's been that way for a long time.
Hey, they're dusty,
time.
Bro.
How many World Series championships if you had to bet your life
on
it,
go ahead.
Do you think the Mets will win in the next 15 years?
In the next 15 years.
Come on.
No, I'm thinking. I'm not going to bet my life, but I'll bet something else that matters, that is. Yeah. 15 years. I'm not going to be flippant and say zero. Like, I'm not, zero. They never win. I'm not going to be that guy.
Right.
I know that they're going to keep chasing, and they're going to keep coming off that stool and keep coming to, Rocky, bloody like a pulp, still going against Apollo, not quitting. Yeah. I know that's going to happen because Cohen ain't going to stop till he gets something. I'll give you one. I give you the one. And really, the over-under, I'd probably make it 1.5. But because it's the Mets.
That's what I was going to ask you
next.
I'm going to go under. Maybe that's the better way to say it.
All right.
What would be the over-under for championships for the Mets over the course of the next 15 years?
1.5. And I think that that's fair because they haven't won for a long time, and it's gotten harder, increasingly tougher to win.
I agree with you that that is more than fair, right? They haven't won one in almost 40 years.
Yep.
But I would take the over.
I can see why you would say that. Now, go with the Yankees here.
Okay, the Yankees, the team who has not won one since 2009, mm-hmm. but always have been there, 27. Okay, so what would their number be for the next 15?
It very well might be the same. Let me just go through the calculus real quick in my head. No, it's not the same. We got to bump that up a little bit.
Based on what? The competition in the American League?
Two. Not much more. Same ballpark, but a little bit more because of the Yankees.
I think even if you kept it at 1.5, we get the same. All right, 2, whatever, 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Under. They're lucky to get one.
You, I'm stunned.
They're lucky to
get a
Lou Soto.
I am stunned. I am floored that I went under for the Mets and you went under for the Yankees.
But I'm going to lose Soto.
Surprise.
In this equation, I'm adding. Now, if the Mets don't get Soto.
Well, then it's zero.
Yeah, well, then I definitely would take the under. I don't know about zero, but I'm going under.
Well, it would be zero in 2025. If you don't get Soto, you have no shot to win. Because I don't think you're replicating all those great stories. So Iglesias is going to hit 400 home this year, which is the Mets record?
If you had a bet, your career. No, Iglesias would be a nice backup.
I got news for you. The last time we see Iglesias in New York might be a Boomer and Gio's concert because he might be gone.
Maybe. He'd be a backup dancer for Juan Soto. Soto's going to come up with his. Just the Yankees number. You would go over 1.5, realistically. Championships in the next 15 years?
Yes, but not with great confidence. I'm gonna be real to the conversation. Not with great confidence.
Right? Should we do the Jets win total, win loss schedule?
Please stop. No, the game's getting progressively
that's where we cross
tougher,
the line there.
More painful.
What do you got?
What does Hoff want? Yeah. What?
All right, this is gonna be out there.
The boss is here, by the way. Hurley, everything okay?
Go ahead, Hoff.
Hey,
so,
give me a thumbs up, Pearls.
There's a team that was rumored to be connected to Juan Soto.
Toronto.
No,
the Reds.
The Rays.
The Rays. They're out.
I'll
tell you why.
Yeah.
They have to pay $55 million to fix their roof so they can play in 2026.
Wait a second. That's not my goal, and that is horrendous. That is so sad.
$55 million?
To fix it so they can play in 2026.
How much is a new building
They're
cost?
Not getting that through insurance?
I don't think they have insurance. And they need to figure out if they want to do that. Or have a new ballpark for 2028.
Wait a second.
It's like one or the other.
Yeah. Is it that dire, one or the other?
Yes.
All right, I know it's dire for the new stadium.
Tampa Bay Times.
Okay.
All right. I mean, but listen, we have insurance on our homes, especially if you live by water and areas that are, very threatened by weather. You're telling me that they don't have insurance for their baseball stadium? I mean, if they have to. Now, I don't know what the premium is.
Right.
So maybe that is...
Maybe
that's enough. Can't do it.
But is that...
We got to pay $337,000 premium. We can't afford Soto.
Were you joking, Hoff, that they're out because of that? Or that's legit...
No, that's a joke. But the reality is that there's no... How are they going to? They won't have a place to play next year.
They're not paying him anyway. But
they're not paying for the roof. Insurance is paying for that.
You worried about the Red Sox at all with Soto?
No, I don't think he's going to. No,
so
I'm
I don't
not.
Know if it was Heyman. The latest was that they're legitimate.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be sitting there, and I think he'll say, "Excuse me, Red Sox, you guys can go. You're no longer needed here. Get lost."
Elvis is in Orange, Connecticut. What's up, Elvis?
Before I say anything, I'm sorry about hanging up on you guys all the time. I can't stay on long, but
no, it's okay.
That's okay, buddy.
Hey, look. Now, let me ask you something. I'm a huge Mets fan, but if we get Soto and we don't get anybody else, I really don't want him because you're going to tie up a lot of money. I can think of 4 or 5 players I'd rather have on my team than him that are free agents right now. I want the guy from Baltimore, the left-handed hitter. What's his name? Sandar?
He's a switch hitter. Anthony Santander.
Over Juan Soto? Come on now.
Well, First of all, if you keep him, if you keep Alonso, he's an extra bat for Alonso. You got another left-handed hitter. I wouldn't mind having Bregman or Adonis. Okay. I want Walter Buehler. There's a bunch of guys you could get for that kind of money. It's crazy to tie up all that money in one guy.
Unless you have it. And thank you for the call, Elvis.
Thanks, buddy. He's the best. Yeah.
You have to look at it as an investment as well. If you're investing your money in a player, are you willing to take all your, let's say you have $1 billion, whatever it is, let's say you have $700 million to spend, are you spending $600 of it on one player in Juan Soto? and maybe another player with 100, whatever, we're just using hypothetical budget here. Or would you rather say, okay, well, I'll go get four or five of these other guys. And Elvis is saying he'd rather four or five of the other guys. I want the best. I'm investing my money in what I believe is the sure investment. Brian Cashman was told that, I forget who it was, but we read about it recently, like when he was inquiring about should he make the move, and whoever it was that told him about it said, Juan Soto is the most sure thing you can do. And it was proven correct. There was no first-year struggles in New York. There was no postseason issues. The dude was a beast every step of the way, just like he's been every step of the way since he's come into the league. For me, I'm investing all my money in what I know is the best option available.
Yeah, listen, I understand that thought process. I also think it should be largely shaped by the belief that you have in some of the other players. Like, if the Mets, and we don't know exactly how they feel about Acuna or Gilbert, we know how they feel about Vientos, but the other piece is like, if they believe that those guys are really ready, and even Alvarez, like, listen, internally, they might be a little bit worried about Alvarez. Yeah. I think that they should be. I mean, I'm not saying he can't become the player we thought, but he definitely took an alarming step back to the point where at least you've got to consider, maybe he's like a tick below what we thought. So I'll let them evaluate that. But if they think that Acuna can play second and they really believe Vientos is a two or three hitter for the next 10 years, and I believe he probably is, and the other things are answered more yes than no, then you can justify giving it all to one guy. If those answers are no, then, and you've got other areas to fill, and Pete bounces, and, you know, Lindor's not a key. He's amazing this year, but he's not a kid. And you've got some pitching issues. You got a lot of things to plug in. So if they like the rest of the roster, the young kids, I think that matters.
The beauty is going to be that they're going to spend on Soto and do other stuff. It's not going to be like all the top guys, but I'd rather invest in Soto and then fill in the other pieces without, as opposed to go get Burns and Santander and Bregman. No. Soto.
What about Adamas? Like, so do you think that they could do that? You think they could do Soto and Adamas?
Yeah, I don't think they will, because I think Adamas will get more from San Francisco. Just my gut feel. Yep. They're going to pay him a lot to get him at short.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Mets would try legitimately to get Soto and Adamas, or say Soto and Alonso.
I agree with that. It's not going to be just him, but I do think they're going swinging for at least two big ones here. Yeah, I do.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. More of your calls. Also go around the NFL a little bit. Our thoughts from Week 10 in review when we jam it up the A-gap when we come back.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today. Time for BT and Sal to jam it up the A-gap.
All right, Week 10 in review, BT, our main.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Takeaways from week 10. Number one for me, Kirk Cousins stinks. I can't stand watching Kirk Cousins attempt to play quarterback. Now, I get that he's like, look, he's better than Daniel Jones, sure. But in a big game, ultimately, game on the line, Kirk Cousins just ain't it. He never will be. It's why I'm glad the Falcons selected Michael Penix. I don't know if you saw this, but they played New Orleans, and I just hate the Saints. It was a road game. Falcons were favored 3.5 points, and that's a game like a good team. You got to bury the Saints. Saints got their new head coach, the interim guy, and of course the Falcons find a way to lose that game. Koo was missing field goals all over the place, but Kirk Cousins in a big spot, like not even close, and he did the same stuff with Minnesota for years. He's good enough to get to the postseason. He's good enough to maybe win a postseason game. He's not good enough to win a Super Bowl. So the fact that Kirk Cousins is getting paid what he is, and the fact that there's all this hype around Kirk Cousins and the signing, he's terrible. Always has been, always will be.
He's made a lot of money. It's crazy. Oh, all right, my God. First takeaway here, Sal. Now, he's not going to win it because his team right now is ninth in the AFC. Do you realize that Joe Burrow, he will get MVP votes, and if they mess around and they go on a hot streak, he can actually sneak it and sneak off and win this MVP. He's on pace for 41 touchdowns and 4,500 yards. He's got 24 touchdowns and four picks right now. So they've lost some tight games. Right now, they're out of the AFC playoffs, as I said. There's seven teams that make it. They're ninth here. But Joe Burrow, kind of easy to overlook. Jalen Hurts doing this, Lamar doing that. Oh, look at Russell Wilson with Pittsburgh. Look at this over there. Herbert started to do that. Joe Burrow is insane. He just needs a little more around them.
I hope they get in the postseason because I think it'd be good for the league to have the Bengals in. Not that I think they could win the Super Bowl, but you'd rather see Joe Burrow. They're a good team. They should be a playoff team, but that bad start. All right, number two for me. How about the Bears? Good God, how bad it's gotten there. I know you picked the Bears, and actually, when you picked them on the air during a perfect parlay pick segment, I was like, oh, you know what? That's one maybe I overlooked.
Against the Pats.
Yeah, they were, I think, given six or whatever at home, and really twofold in that game. One, Caleb Williams and the Bears offense, pathetic. Like, you can't look worse than they did scoring 3 points at home against the Patriots. Yes. And then Drake May on the other side, Patriots, all of a sudden, they look like they could play some solid football, getting themselves to three wins. But overall, and it shows you, BT, the importance of having a head coach. Like, it's great to have the number one pick and bring in the quarterback. The Bears are moronic for bringing back morons, too, as I was trying to get there. Yeah. But anyway, the Bears are moronic for bringing back Matt Eberflus for another year, where it's inevitable. They just fired their offensive coordinator today.
Yeah, they did.
So they're going to have a new head coach in there with the number one pick, and that'll be an enticing situation for
somebody to go to. Yeah.
But the Bears, their loss at home to the Patriots with Caleb Williams and an offense struggle, and that was eye-opening.
That's definitely an eye-opener. How about our boy Sandy kind of remembering that he's still Sam Darnold here? Last two weeks, he got five picks. And four of the last five, or five of the last six, he's actually thrown interceptions. So, you know, you can only polish a flawed jewel up so much. Not that he's, you know, he's not salvageable, but I think more and more you can see the overreaction to Sam's stellar play to start the season. You know, he's a grinder. He's an average player. He's looked good in certain spots this year. He's got a great receiver to make him look good. But when you need plays, Sammy's just starting to sling it to the wrong team again. That's a big problem for the Vikes.
Both Geno Smith and Sam Darnold have reverted to Geno Smith and Sam Darnold. Last one from me. I think I talked about this last week, actually, in Jamming Up the A-Gap, that I do believe in the Chargers here as being a legitimate team. I cannot wait, as a matter of fact. There are three games this weekend that I have circled that I want to watch. Thursday night, Philadelphia, Washington. Mm-hmm. Sunday afternoon, 4:25, Bills and Chiefs. And then Sunday night, the game that got flexed with the Jets and Colts being flexed out, the game that got moved in, Bengals, Chargers. And I really would not sleep. In the AFC postseason, I heard Jerry and Gio today. Jerry was in for Boomer.
Yeah.
They were talking about who could win the Super Bowl.
And yeah, I heard him too. Yeah.
Okay, and then they mentioned the Bengals. And I was like, I don't know. But they left out the Chargers. And I get why. But I think if you're looking at this and paying attention to it, the Chargers starting to rise. They're 6-3, and they're on the rise with Herbert playing better. Harbaugh starting to really have his impact felt, you know, 10 weeks in now. Mm-hmm. I think the Chargers could be a very, very dangerous team in the AFC.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, they're going to protect the ball. They're going to run the ball. Their defense is better than people think. It's starting to get some love now, but it's been good for a while. You know, the interesting thing, and listen, I'll just be honest with you. After that Jet game, I didn't even look at the schedule. Yeah. So I'm looking at it for the first time. And the good games are really good. and everything else is bad. Like, you know, what does Raiders Dolphins do for you? What does Jaguars, even though Lions are good, Jaguars, yeah, Lions, what does Browns Saints do you? What Colts Jets? I mean, there's some dull games here, but the good ones are good. All right, last one for me. This is obviously the best team in the NFL yet to lose, Kansas City. Mm. All right, that with a 2-point win over Denver, not very impressive. I mean, listen, you win, it's impressive, but they only scored 16 points. The problem is, and I guess I'm just trying to point out their vulnerability. Now, they haven't lost yet. They've got the 9th best point differential. What does that tell you? Well, I think it tells you a couple things. They're buttoned up and know how to win the tight one. They're probably a little bit lucky / on borrowed time. And a little more vulnerable in certain spots that we gloss over because they've yet to lose. So I don't think this is exactly breaking news. Nobody thinks Kansas City's hanging 40 right, like they did for a couple of years when Mahomes first burst on the scene. But just dig beneath the surface a little bit more. It's a team that very well could be 6-3 rather than 9-0.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to watching them in Buffalo. I think Buffalo's, this is the time. If Buffalo's ever going to beat them, this would be the week. We'll talk more about them in our power rankings when we do that on Thursday. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you, BT. Kansas City has not been overly impressive, and yet they haven't lost a game this year. 888-808-1019. Ray is in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Listen, I'm glad that I'm on after Baldy because the guy couldn't have, stated what I want to state any better. Sal, I know you believe in Brian Daboll, but listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm a Giants fan. I do not. At the end of the season, I want the quarterback gone. I want this current regime gone. Neither one has done anything since the first year. So we're going to judge the quarterback based on that. We have to, it's only fair for the current regime. And listen, the head coach, right? Everybody talks about how much he recognizes, quarterback talent. Why the hell did he flush $5 million down the toilet? You know, he and Shane for the backup quarterback. So that tells me a little bit something about that also. And the fact that he hasn't gotten any better since year one either. And the only success has been with Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Andrew Thomas, and a few other gentlemen picks. They've done absolutely nothing. And nobody can tell me, we need him to get his own young quarterback because Daniel Jones was very young when they decided to give him the money 2 years ago, and nobody put a gun to their head.
Yeah, the owner might have. Ray, the owner might have. Not literally, but of course. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, maybe, but at the end of the day.
Well, what do you mean maybe? That's a big deal.
I don't know that. We don't know that. The only thing we do know is the things that I've stated, that they have gone back.
Here's what else we know, Ray. Here's what else we know. You want to blame Shane and Daboll? That's fine. That's your opinion, and there's reason to do so. What about before them? Were the Giants good before that regime?
They weren't, but...
Hold on. What about... Ray, what about the regime before that? Was that regime good? And what about the one before that, Ray? And
that's McAdoo.
Me too. I can't keep up with it, actually. Judge, McAdoo, Shermer, Gettleman, Jerry Reese. Yeah, right, exactly. Like... So what's the one common denominator here? The owner. The owner, even if it's not, which is why I think actually at this point Woody is better than Mara.
Oh, God, stop,
here's why.
Woody's better than nobody.
Here's why. Because Woody at least, and again, I don't know the inner workings of either franchise, but just using some common sense and gathering from afar what's happening. Woody clearly has his weaknesses, but Woody hired people that he thought were going to be successful and let them do what they had to do. Now, again, I'm assuming that. I'm assuming Joe Douglas wanted Robert Saleh. And, of course, the owner's going to have some say in who the head coach is going to be. But then Woody also said, okay, well, you missed on Zach Wilson. Go get me Aaron Rodgers. You know what? Joe Douglas didn't want Aaron Rodgers. Of course he did. So the way Joe Douglas was allowed to build things, Woody said, here, I'm going to give you want to go get Davante Adams? You want to have Reddick? Go ahead, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work. But at least Woody hired these guys, put them, it went all in to let them do it. They didn't do it. As a matter of fact, I'll give him credit for even being patient this year. He shouldn't have. I thought it was stupid going with Saleh, but at least Woody saw that through. Whereas Mara clearly having hit, like, I don't think Woody was saying strong-arming Joe Douglas into one way or another, keeping Zach Wilson or going to get Aaron Rodgers. Like, hey, if they want to go get this quarterback and this is the best spot, here you go. Whereas Mara clearly... He allowed a general manager to take a running back number 2 overall. At the time, if you were to come to me and I'm the owner of the Giants, and Gettleman says, I want to take Saquon Barkley, they'd be like, well, if you take a running back number two, you're fired on the spot, because that's moronic. That's idiotic. Nobody does that. It's not 1975 or 1985. It's 2018 or whatever year it was. So you'd be fired if I were the owner. So he let him do that. Then he had the love affair with Jones and Barkley to a point where he made Shane probably extend him and feel guilty if they didn't. And the same thing about Barkley, making him feel guilty. Like, that impact for Mara, I think he's a good man. Don't get me wrong.
So do I. Definitely.
But those things alter the way your franchise operates, and he's been the common denominator in what has been a losing franchise beyond this regime.
At least he's got Super Bowls. Woody's got nothing.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I saw the conversation's over for me. Yeah. I mean, Woody, I know Woody tries. Like, there's owners who don't spend money. That's not Woody, but he's also always chasing to the point where he's a little quick triggered as well. Listen, I didn't have an issue with, as a matter of fact, I said I thought it was the right move when he fired Saleh. But now let's be fair to Robert Saleh. They've looked a lot worse without Robert Saleh. So you can say that Woody got his fingerprints all over that a little bit too early, and he made that
situation.
But he
did what most people wanted.
Yeah, but an owner who reacts to public sentiment is not usually a good owner.
Agreed.
And at the end of the day, I agree. These last 10 years for Mara have been very sloppy. And I do believe the strong inference that his fingerprints were all over the extension of Daniel Jones and the drafting of Saquon and wanting to hold on to Saquon and contemplate in terms of the trade deadline a year ago. There's no doubt. He's got Super Bowls.
You know what?
He's got nothing.
Understood, but to me that almost makes it even worse, because he has the Super Bowls, and then what? He forget how to have a sustained, successful franchise?
Well, at least he showed the ability to have a Super Bowl, like to hit a ceiling. Woody hadn't even come close.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the further removed from his father running things, the worse things have gotten here. And the one comp I would say, like, do you think Jim Dolan is a good owner?
I think he's become one.
Correct. I think Woody is comparable to James Dolan, where everybody would rip on Dolan for years. He tried, though. It just wasn't the right guys that he was putting in place. Woody is trying. He just hasn't found the right guys yet. I respect an owner who try. I'm not saying Mara doesn't try, but when Mara gets involved in the football stuff, that to me is the turnoff. I don't see Woody doing that. I see him trying to hire the right guy.
We don't see it, but it's also not his main business. So this is Mara's business. We do, because it's his main business. We don't know if Woody's a little more. Listen, he called Aaron Rodgers the day before they fired Saleh. What the hell are you calling the quarterback for?
No.
Is that really a job? And do we believe him that he said, no, I didn't talk about Robert Saleh's job security? Stop. Who are you kidding, Woody? Of course you did.
But if he's impacting the personnel decisions, that's where I have a problem with any owner. I get that they're the owner and ultimately they have the final set. You should not be impacting the football decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, at this point, neither one is very good. At least the one shown the ability to build it, but they're both broken. Hey, by the way, we've got to get a little Knicks here coming up next. We'll do that BT
and
Sal.
Big game tonight.
It's a big game. I brought up a week ago. You guys didn't like it. I don't like the way they look. They've looked a little worse since then. So hopefully this changes tonight. We'll get to that coming up with BT and Sal.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Right now we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Baldy, you and I, we don't have a lot in common. Like, you play in the NFL, I didn't. You're big and strong, I'm not. You're tough and rich, I am not. But you did do a game with Jerry Recco, and I did as well.
Yep.
What was that like working that game with Recco in Tampa on Sunday?
Recco's a rock star, man. He's great. He's really great. It was a good game. You know, we were down the field. We saw Brady down the field. We talked to all the coaches and players. He was right there by my side. He was awesome. The game came down to, some missed field goals and some big plays or whatever. And he got excited when it was time to get excited, set me up, gave me plenty of room. We had a great time. Jerry was the second game I've done with Jerry. I would do a game anywhere in the world with the guy, man. He was great.
Some endorsement right there. Now, Recco's awesome. Great job.
Love to hear that. I was like, wow, look at me. I was an analyst for Jerry. And now we were doing Columbia football, Baldy. Not quite the NFL, but you step into the NFL.
Hey, look, whether you're in Tampa and you're seeing the 49ers and the Buccaneers, and, the Buccaneers got a couple world championships to their name, or you're in Columbia up there in the Bronx, who cares? Let's get the fans excited about it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Baldy, around here, we might be more excited about Columbia than the Jets and the Giants. I mean, they stink. And just because New York football season has come to an end, BT, it doesn't mean we can't have some fun with our basketball team. Knicks tonight. Remember, Joe Shane coming up at 3 o'clock. Of course, we'll react to that tomorrow. But you get the Knicks-Sixers tonight. I love this game for a couple of reasons. Number one, well, it's important because early on the Knicks have not looked great. Number two, because it's the Sixers and we hate the Sixers. Number three, you know, it's the return of Joel Embiid tonight in Philadelphia. And it was funny. I was reading some tweets. You know, Spike, our former boss, is down there in Philly doing the shows. And they're talking about, will the fans cheer Embiid or boo Embiid? Are we sure Sixers fans are actually going to attend the game this time? Or is it going to be a Knick takeover like we saw in the postseason? But a big game. Knicks back-to-back nights at Sixers and then home against the Bulls. I'm looking forward to these two games.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing the real Knicks stand up. I mean, they've got after tonight, you know, and tonight will be, you know, I guess a challenge for different reasons. But then the schedule really softens up. And I know Philly's not playing well, but I think Philly will be ready to go. I think that there's a lot of things about this Knicks team that worry me. Number one, they gave up 40 points in the fourth quarter Sunday against the Pacers. Number two, Bridges, who, and to be fair to Mikal Bridges, the numbers are influenced more by really three rough games, but he's shooting 31% from downtown. Not good enough. Jalen Brunson at this point is 19th in fourth quarter points. What happened to our superstar? And opponents right now are shooting over 46% against Bridges, which is above league average, and he's supposed to be an elite defender. So, and they have no depth. I mean, the other night they played, McBride played 29 minutes, and then, you know, Kolick, I think, played six and or two or whatever, and Sims played a couple. They're playing six guys. This isn't high school, dude. So, I mean, it's one thing if you're bagging wins and you're putting your foot on the gas a little extensively here and, you know, you're carving out a little separation and then you can kind of recalibrate midseason. They are burying their starters with minutes that are not sustainable and they're not even winning.
You want to see more Huck Porty? I mean, what is it supposed to do?
You just put on see more Huck to a girl.
Yeah, you just got to see.
That's what I thought you said, Huck to.
No, I mean, that's what everybody's calling for. Hey. You don't want to see more Jericho Sims. I don't want to see him. As you said the other day, he looks. I used to like Jericho Sims.
Yeah, he brings nothing to the table.
He brings nothing to the table. So right now, I think more importantly, while they're trying to win games, clearly.
I want to see more Ryan. That is my answer. I want to see a little Matt Ryan.
Maybe they do. Yeah. I mean, he just got here, so let's give it a game
or
two.
Shooter. Shooters can shoot anywhere.
A good thing McBride was healthy. Otherwise, I don't know what they would have done the other day in Indianapolis. But for me, there are two things that are taking place. Obviously, you want to win games. But it's so early on, and ultimately, the standings, like, as long as you get in the postseason, that's all that matters, and you're going to be playing your best basketball and be healthy in the postseason. That's what I care about now. Home court is not even as big of a deal as it used to be. Yeah, it's important, but not like it used to be. So for the Knicks, BT, while they're trying to win, more importantly, they're trying to learn and gel and mesh and figure out who they are as a team and how the individuals, the new pieces, are going to fit in. I think that's the top priority right now, and you can't have that happen if you're not playing these guys at the same time.
I understand that. It's a necessary evil to gain that chemistry and that traction, but you've still got to be responsible with it, and they need more. You just got to play better. Yeah, I understand. I do agree that it's kind of dissipated a little bit over the years, though, the home court. And, you know, you look at the standings, and not to get into the standings, but just to paint a broad picture, like some of the teams that are ahead of the Knicks right now, and certainly many of the ones behind them, like the Hornets, the Bulls, the Pistons, these teams aren't going, they're going nowhere. So I'm not worried about some teams coming up and clipping the Knicks, but guys, can we raise the bar? Can we raise the standard? This is the Knicks who were a ripped hamstring away from getting to the Eastern Conference a year ago in terms of OG, and they made the only big trade that they can make because all their assets are gone.
Right.
So I'm not just sitting, 43 wins is fine. Yeah, I guess 43 wins is fine if you find a way to get to the conference finals, but I mean, this is supposed to be, I'm getting greedy.
Yeah.
I want to see a lot of wins. I want to see a high seed. I want to see a team that looks like they are deep and well-balanced and ready to win a championship. And going backwards, I don't know about that.
They played nine games.
I understand that.
I really do think the run starts tonight. We talked about it yesterday, or the other day. One, two, three, four. Yeah, these next five games.
What, Chicago twice, Brooklyn Nets twice, back-to-back.
At Philly, home against Chicago, home against Brooklyn, home against Brooklyn, home against Washington.
Oh, the Wizards were the other team. Yeah. That's right. I mean, those are among the dregs of the NBA society.
Minimum four.
I agree.
Now, if there's less than that, maybe I'll start to say, okay, they got to pick it up. My biggest concern about this team is Bridges. That's my biggest concern right now. I know they got a gel, but Bridges has done nothing so far.
He's still shooting 50% from the corners, but other than that, he's, as I detailed before, at some states, he's not making the impact.
All right, let's finish up on the phones here. Yeah. Allie is calling from Irvine, California. What's up, Allie?
Hey, it's Al. I've been a long listener of you guys. I'm in California because I'm in the Navy. So,
salute.
Happy Veterans Day.
Thank you. Thanks for your support.
Awesome.
But I just want to talk about Brian Daboll as offensive coordinator. His history, I mean, before Buffalo, has been abysmal. He was in Cleveland. They were like almost dead last in points scored and almost all of every offensive category. He went from Cleveland to Miami. He boosted him from 30th to 20th. That wasn't like a big difference, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, I'm not saying he's a problem. I know Sal loves him as a head coach. I like him as a head coach. I just think that this is the only year that DJ has had a decent O-line, a number one wide receiver. I'm not totally giving up on him. I know you guys did. I know a lot of New York Giants fans have done that. But I see flashes of him doing well.
Of Jones, in his promotion
that delays for some reason. If Brian Daboll is a quarterback whisperer, he should have fixed that. There's a slight hitch that slows down his release.
No, Ali, I'm sorry, man. We appreciate your call and thank you for your service.
Don't take a cold plunge at the Pacific Ocean and get back to us with a different take on Jones.
No.
Respect to the naval service and all that. Love you, man. But Jones is done. It's over.
Jones is missing wide open throws. There's nobody that can fix him. He's gotten worse. Now, look, Daboll has to have, I guess, I think what Daboll did with Jones is slowly try to build him up. Unfortunately, Jones doesn't have the next level to what Daboll needs or what any coach would need from their quarterback. He had success with him running the football. When he asked him to start throwing the ball down the field a little bit, he just can't do it. Joe is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call up.
Hey,
before I get to my Daniel Jones point, so 9:30 games, I think that's the way to go for the Giants.
Well, so you can sleep
I really enjoyed the fact. You know, you have the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Once the Giants lose,
were you happy?
You know, you have the rest of the day.
Were you happy the rest of the day?
Well, I mean, my wife didn't yell at me because I wasn't sitting in front of the TV all day. But, you know,
I got you.
It didn't ruin the middle. Oops, sorry, Joe. We got to go because it ended the show here. I was hoping you got to your point a little bit quicker there, so we could get them both in. But we do understand it. Here's the problem. You're right. Get it out of the way. You don't have to worry about the middle of the day. Bottom line is the Jets and Giants have ruined far too many football Sundays for us for the better part of a decade, even more. I mean, it's just with the two of them. And if you're a Giant fan, you don't care about watching the Jets or around the league, fine. But then your Sunday's getting ruined anyway because your team is stunk. Jet fan, same thing. For us, we have to watch both of them. Hey, look, I'm starting to turn my attention to the games that matter here. We got a big game coming up Thursday night. We got a game at 4:25. Matter of fact, I'm going to be working Sunday. I'm going to be on the air Sunday 12 to 3.
Oh.
And I promise you I will be more entertaining than the Jets will. I promise you that. No Giants game, so there's some open slots. I'm like, what the hell? We'll do some baseball hot stove. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to sit here and watch the Giants and Jets in another lost year, but that's what we have here.
Listen, there's certain teams that lose, but it's somewhat entertaining. You know, you don't have a defense, but you have a quarterback who gets in the end zone. Giants can't score. Jets don't score. Jets defense stinks. Giants defense was okay. Now it's shot from carrying the mail. Brutal, miserable season again.
Be back tomorrow to react to Joe Shane, the Knicks tonight.
Knicks.
Maybe some hot stove as well. Thanks to everybody listening and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Hoff as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.